Are we going to?
All right, we.
Go ahead.
All right, this is the. If I have my agenda here somewhere. The April 11th Marysville Board of Education special meeting. It's a work session. So can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Mayne.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Boyd.
Here.
Ms.
Blaster. Here.
And Mr. Fraker is absent. Okay. You going to put the forecast up there for us? Kind of give us a... Probably the best way to start, just give us a quick...
I think the best way to say, maybe kind of recap what we're going to try to accomplish.
Well, really, what we're going to try to accomplish is figure out where we're at right now. Right. So just kind of a quick overview, because sure. Since the budget numbers are out, they're as solid as they're going to be, and then like to hear about kind of some of the ideas that the district is going to talk about, you know, what we're going to do and the plans, and then I'm going to open it up and...
Okay.
And did you have...
No, let's get through the forecast, and then I think more directly our objective should be towards what we're trying to accomplish with the forecast.
Okay. That's fine. Let's see my phone. Call it. There you go. Pizza? No, let's just talk about the changes from. I think all we need to talk about for the moment is just the changes from the last time to this time, and then kind of what the bottom line is that we're looking at whatever line number that is, 15, line number 15 on the forecast. We'll have to spend about 2 minutes explaining again that 27-week, 26-week thing.
Yeah.
Just so I can kind of get a grasp on that.
Okay. October fiscal year 11 is what was approved in October. So that's what we had as far as, those are the numbers that we had in October. April is where we're at right now, and so what I did was I went through and I put in everything that so far that we've received and then projected out the last 3 months. We still have quite a bit of money coming in yet for the second term in April and in May and June, but we'll go through. Property tax, we're in as much, there might be a little bit coming in yet for mobile homes, but other than that, so we're less there than what was expected, probably delinquencies, other, you know, odds and ends.
Do you happen to know how many challenges we've gotten? I know that closed last week.
I do not know how many challenges that we have. We only receive the challenges that are over $17,000. So I've not received anything yet, so I'll probably in the next couple of weeks.
Huh.
We've received more intangible, that's not public, this is public utilities, it's not the old tangible personal properties, it's public utilities. We have no income tax. We're right on track we've got a little bit increase in our unrestricted grants and aids, which is our state foundation. We're a little less in our restricted, and those are, that big chunk is stimulus dollars. Property tax allocation, the difference is the first half. We still haven't received anything on the second half, so I did not even change those numbers. The big thing here that we've received more in our fees, but I haven't had to move anything around for the free fee for the kids that are on free lunches. So that gives that total. There's no difference in our other sources, which was our... is loans. So that's where we're at financially. Personal services salaries from 27 pay cycle and changes on the staff buyout, Some of our members that took the staff buyout are leaving as of May 31st. So if they leave as of May 31st, then their contract, we're paying them out as of May 31st. So we're going to increase a little bit of that, the salaries there. But then that'll be also gone for the what would have been paid through the first pay of September. The 27 pays in our agreement with the MEA, it says the year that a certain number of calendar days are, then you go to the 27th so that it splits the payout. Well, usually 26, it fills right in perfectly with payroll. But the 27th pay is over $1 million. That 27th pay will be paid in next fiscal year instead of this fiscal year. So when you look at the forecast, you'll see that I've added that back in next year. So I've looked at the number of pays from this fiscal year, the number of pays out of next fiscal year's calendar, and that's the number of pays that I've got in for salaries for next year. So that 27 pays not only affects the personal services, it also affects our benefits. The purchase services, the reason that we've spent less than what we thought, we've got some tuition and utility areas. Those were the big areas that I saw. The supplies, transportation area, and the others are just regular supplies, not spending. And then the capital, it's from some changes in account codes that we had. That's why it's a little bit more. And other financing, we did not have to pay back as much with the Honda repayment as what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was the same amount as last year, but it was a little bit less, so that's why that difference. So overall, between the increases, the revenue, and the underspending, we're $1.6 million better than what we thought we were going to be as of the end of this fiscal year.
Now, how much of that has to do with strictly the retirement buyout?
Very little, strictly to the retirement for this year.
Underspending.
Strictly underspending. Because of the 27K.
So we basically underspent by $1.6 million?
Yeah, and if you look at it, if you look at the personnel service, it's $1.1 million there and $300,000. That's where the big chunk is. And one payroll for all funds is like $1.2 million. So when you take out the cafeteria, the SAC, the federal grants, that it's mainly just because of the 27th pay.
Does that catch up next year?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Alright.
So that's fiscal year 11. We'll look at what we did to fiscal year 12.
Yeah, that seems to be the year where it really...
Which is next school year. Mm-hmm. The changes in valuation for tax year 2010 are in this one. So that's going to be less than what we thought.
Yeah, right here.
Right there.
Probably back by the desk over the minute.
Yeah,
in the
way.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, I got it.
Changes in valuations and tax year, both because of those changes that we saw in February, and we hadn't changed our forecast. Unrestricted grants, that's the changes in state foundation, same way with the restricted changes in the state budget. Property tax allocation, that $909,000 is changes in the state budget. And then the others just...
That's loss of TPP.
That's loss.
And then the additional and the bump, just the hair bump from the state side, and then the
exactly.
reduction in TPP.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Then the changes from the previous year, just in a few percentages for the other areas. Mainly it's going to be in our fees, probably fees and tuition. That I see. And once you put in the year before, when you do the projections, the year before, when I change those numbers, then it's going to change these numbers a little bit too for the next 5 years, 4 years. So that's what that changes in previous years. We come down to the personnel services. It's a decrease of 741,000. When we get, I think I'm gonna slip, hop over here to the that slide, just so you can see this. When you look at fiscal year 11. When you look at this, this is the explanations of everything that we've done. It's 28,480. And then when you look at the staff, the increase in staff, there's six staff members that were special needs teachers that we increased because we will no longer have the ARRA funds next year.
Those intervention specialists?
Intervention specialists. There's six of them that we'll need to have no matter what. So
everybody picked up the stimulus
dollars, yeah.
Right, we just moved their payroll over to the stimulus while we had it, and then moving them back. Right.
Exactly. Then the salaries, here's that 1.8.
Those are people we hired last year?
No.
No.
Those are people we already had?
We already had them. We were allowed to move them over to the stimulus.
Were there people we hired this
year? No.
Okay. Those were hired out of general fund.
Okay, I just recollect.
So the stimulus is just...
It was a two-year program.
It was just paying from a different pocket.
Yes.
You had to specifically use those funds for what
for those centers.
Okay.
You were allowed to use some of those dollars to offset costs you already had to a certain percentage. So we were very careful not to add staff because you knew once the stimulus money were gone, those staff members would be gone. So what we did is just utilize the dollars that we were allowed, at the percentage that we were allowed to pay for staff to take them out of the general fund expenditure for at least 2 years.
Sure.
So then, this 1.2 million, that's the increase for the 27 pays to this year. So 27 is 26, so 6 for fiscal year 11, 21 of the fiscal year 12 amount. So that's the 1.2. And the reason it's more than just what we thought from the previous year is because you've got steps and the percentage increase. Then here's where you start seeing the differences in the numbers from the staff, the decrease on the buyout, increase for the replacement, and then a couple other staff members that we've got. And then here, the decrease on the buyout for the following year, and then the increase in the replacement. So we'll talk more about that. So that's why when you net them all out, it's only a difference of minus 741,000 there. Increase for the buyouts, retirement insurances, decrease from previous year percentages that once you, like I said, the year before we've made that change, so the percentage is there. We'll have to double check that to make sure that's right on, but hopefully it'll be real close. Purchase services with utilities, they've been very good, and I hope it stays that way, but you never know. And then the previous year on the supplies with gas and diesel up at $4 a gallon, I don't know if we can keep it there or not.
Is that what we budgeted?
Yes.
I was just about to ask. We budgeted for...
We budgeted about $3, I think, is what we did this past year.
Okay. We didn't budget $4.
No, we did not budget $4 fuel last for this current year. But that's why I'm saying this is for next fiscal year.
Okay.
So, and then the increases from the previous year, when you make that change, it changes everything. That capital could... Most of that is just site improvement. It's not really capital. And then for fiscal year 13, the year of the biennium, mainly just changes in the valuations, pulling it through, the changes in the state budget for your revenue. And then the remainder is the decrease in teachers in fiscal year 12, and that's where you really see that big change, mainly because of the 27th pay. Now we're back down to 26th pay. Year. So that's where you're going to see those changes. But we're going to have a little bit increase in the buyouts retirement because that's where the buyouts payments are from. You'll see a little increase there from what we had. Then you've got decreases in the previous year percentages. So those are the changes that we made. And it was mainly the buyout, and then whatever we had from this year.
What was the final count on the buyout?
We had 22 folks for this year, and 13 for the following year. Now, in this, in our forecast here, we not only have the reductions of what that buyout would be, but remember some assumptions that were made in that buyout. If you brought everybody back at a certain rate, then it would be X. But in this forecast, we're estimating that we will, of those 22 folks, about 18 will be absorbed. So this, the only two things we've changed, really, in the forecast, we haven't done anything else, but the buyout and assuming at least to be at a spot where we can start discussion is it moving forward into next year with 18 fewer positions. And that's all absorbing. That's no RIF. That's of the, those 22 positions, 18 would we'd have folks not filled, jobs not filled.
But there's 18 less folks.
18, well, it's actually 18 and a half. But it's, we got someone working until semester.
We had Charlie Sheen, his brother, and that half a kid.
Yes.
That's
that
half a kid. And then the 12 for next year, we are going to...
I'm assuming at this point, it's too far out.
Okay, so that's why you just...
I'm assuming that all those folks, all those positions will be retained. That's the assumption as it's presented to you right now. I mean, we can go in and say, assume that 12 of those won't, of the 12, 12 won't come back. And that changes your forecast.
Sure.
If you want to make, and then we'd have to decide what those 12 are, but we'd have a year to do it.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure. So like we wanted to skip first grade?
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
But as you look at your forecast, there are 18 fewer positions, 18 and a half fewer positions.
Now, I
don't know what those are yet.
Oh, so you guys haven't?
Well, we've done some messing around, but no, totally, I don't know what those are yet. I think 11 and a half are teachers that we're absorbing, and the others are either secretaries, aides, there's one bus.
Couple custodians.
Well, we're
but given how many square feet those guys have to cover, I'm kind of curious how we're going to get rid of two of them.
I don't have those. I have the custodial. I don't have any reduction in the custodial right now. We're studying that. What I do know about the custodial is that right now, on average, each custodian maintains about 32,000 square feet. If you reduce one, you take that average 39,000 square feet. That's what they're responsible for. That's a lot of space. So, our problem is, and it's always been our problem, we operate at a pretty base level. And once you start subtracting from a start subtracting from a base level, you get into some tough decisions pretty quickly.
Wouldn't that increase your opportunity for injury and stuff like that? And if you start to add more square footage?
The same thing is true. If you reduce teachers, you're going to reduce less opportunities for kids, and you're going to increase class sizes.
Just hope you don't have a MRSA breakout again.
What's that?
You hope you don't have a MRSA breakout.
We know we can reduce one bus route. That I can tell you. We're going to go down to 32 routes. We were at 40 routes 4 years ago. We're going to go to 33 and move the same number of kids.
Okay.
That's about as efficient as we can get without and do the kinds of things that.
So that's 32, you said, bus routes?
We'll have 33.
33.
33 routes. And we were at 40. So that's seven less drivers, seven less routes.
How many of those? How many of those are still cluster stop runs?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm just curious.
You get a bunch of them are cluster routes,
right?
Because we cluster a lot of spots, especially in town. But I don't know the number of that.
I know when we went to that, and then Amy was able to figure out a way to kind of ease that out a little bit. I was just kind of curious how many of those were still.
Well, you still have clusters even in this area. You still have where you're collecting kids at one spot,
sure,
versus going back into the neighborhoods like we used to.
Is the route that you're reducing, is that elementary or what?
It'll be overall. It's elementary and high school. It's a dual.
It runs
through.
They ride together, or is it just like loop back through?
They loop back through.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a dual. Well,
it's the same route, different time.
It's actually.
Yeah.
I just was curious as to whether it was going to require elementary kids to triple up in the seats.
You're going to run that risk. I mean, you can add back in. It's like everything else. You can start messing.
Did you have something, Doug?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understood. I do the buyout sheet, the summary that you gave Cindy. You're saying fiscal year 12 savings per year, you're meaning that these are the buyouts, that the net buyout impact for the people that are retiring in fiscal year 12, right? So that's $1 million, almost $1 million annual savings. That's every year. And then in addition to that, come 13, we'll have an additional $85,000. And that's based on the assumption that we're not replacing.
But, well, my understanding is, though, that EPC payment only lasts for 3 years.
3 years.
Right, yeah.
And then that's an additional
$500,000,
I guess, after that.
Mm-hmm. And that's if we don't replace.
Mm-hmm. That would be a snapshot, I assume,
right.
Like this.
Right. And that's those numbers are, you know, estimated because I took some assumptions and then we've said, no, we can't do like two custodians. We don't know that we can do that. So those are playing around. So
your assumptions, do they match? I mean, like, you have some sheets, I think, that represent your assumptions.
Yeah.
How do those match up with the counts that Larry just gave?
Those are...
Well, that's what I wanted to make sure.
The other one I think that we didn't do was because I think I just took out one custodian.
You took one out?
And one replaced, is what I did. Yeah. We've been through it up and down. And the staffing is the same.
We're studying it. I don't know whether you can pull it off or not.
Okay.
So very honest. We may be able to.
Okay.
In this, you're going to have to. There are a lot of tough decisions that have to be made. I mean, I've never sat here in my 15 years and recommended that we move forward with 18 fewer positions in 1 year, ever. So what we're doing here, even as a base, is pretty significant.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising to me, actually.
It looks like a pretty interesting mix of people that are retired out of there. I mean, except for the math department, they seem to get
interesting.
Well, that's not what I meant. I just meant it's, you know, you have a little from here, a little bit from there. Except it looks like maybe the high school math is a little bit more than everyone else. It was just my point.
Well. Interestingly enough, as we did several years ago, the positions that are open, we're able to move folks around to absorb. And that I'm happy about that, at least from a possibility. But again, I'm not recommending that there are 18 that we reduce. I mean, that's where we are. That's where we're starting. That gives you an idea of kind of the significance of the reductions that we're taking from the state. You know, absorbing what we have to in the TPP for the next 8 years, I mean, it's $1 million loss, almost $1 million loss every year for the next eight. Now, that's, you're going to reduce The issue is, you're going to reduce 14, 15 staff members every year for eight. It's pretty difficult to do. But that's kind of what we're being asked to do,
right,
by the state.
So when are you going to have a better idea, I guess, of because you're doing scheduling and stuff like that. So if you have these reductions at the high school, how are you able to do scheduling if you don't know how many of your math teachers are going to replace?
I looked at numbers this morning, actually, and I both on a 9-period day and an 8-period day. We can do it with this. I mean, we're going to be able to do it with the staff that
sure
are in the budget. You could do it better if you had more people, but that's, that being the case, we're going to be able to move forward with that. We still haven't done all the work towards the 8-period day. My preference is a 9-period day. It just flat is.
Sure.
Just because it gives kids more opportunities. But we asked kids on the 8-period day what their choices were, and we just got those back. I just got them this morning for the very first time, so we still have some work to do on that.
What's the cost savings?
I know. I wish I could tell you.
$9.
I don't know. It's really going to depend on what the kids choose. I know that almost 80 of them chose not to take lunch. You know, and that speaks, to me, that speaks volumes of kids. They didn't want to give up an academic. They'd rather give up lunch. Now, I don't know how good that is for a high school kid to give up lunch, to be very honest, but it speaks to their desire to take academic courses and to be scheduled. They would have no study halls. They would have 8 periods of academics. No lunch.
So if we just cut 1 period down, wouldn't they have lunch but no study hall?
If they're not choosing lunch, they will have all academics and no study halls.
Wouldn't that be 9 periods? Because they have...
Right now, you have to choose lunch?
You get a lunch, right?
Well, not lunch is part of your... Lunch is part of your 8-period day or now.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I mean, we have kids right now that don't take lunch and take 9 periods.
I got you. Right.
Three lunches scheduled when I was in college.
None of them were on campus.
That's incomplete yet. I just don't know. I don't know what the cost savings would be.
But you can't not have someone have lunch.
We do now. Kids don't take lunch. They sneak a something in a class.
They have to
get approval.
Yeah. Okay. There's not. There's no. Okay.
So by going on an 8-period day, then I know you don't know what the cost is, but the cost would come from obviously the staff for the study hall, and then would it be also a reduction in program?
Well, yeah, probably.
I mean, what happened?
Typically, as we've studied other school districts, there are school districts out there that run a 5-period day. There are a lot of, and they've done it for a reason. You don't have to have as much staff.
Sure.
And anytime you can reduce a period, you don't have to have as many staff members. You just don't, because you don't have as many offerings. It becomes, I mean, it's, the math is pretty clear, really. That's the reason why a lot of schools have eliminated study hall. But to me, a study hall, even in an 8-period day, you're going to have some study halls. In a 7-period day, you probably could eliminate study halls. But it becomes, the problem with study halls and then eliminating study halls is that's where you're really pulling a lot of special needs kids. That's their period that they're getting tutoring or peer assistance or whatever. And at the high school level, that's, if you pull them out of an academic to get tutoring, that's one less academic they're going to have for credit.
If I took 7 periods a day, just every, and had a study hall as my 8th period, would I be able to get enough credits at the end of 4 years to graduate high school?
Yeah, you have to have 21 credits. Okay. Now, if you're going to go to a state college, state university.
Right.
You have to have your other stuff.
Sure.
And that
that's really what I'm asking. So, so can you do college prep on 7 periods a day in a study hall or a lunch or whatever?
You're going to be knocking right up against it because you have to have at least 25, 26 credits to get all the stuff in that you're going to need to get accepted.
Right.
Someplace. Generally speaking, at least 24 credits.
I thought last time we talked about that we were thinking in the $100,000 range. Is this, that sounds low based on what you're saying? The savings.
Yeah. What I said last time is $100,000 to some personnel. I'm not sure exactly where that personnel would be.
Right. No, that's fine. I just
and if it comes out of teaching staff, that number goes up. But I, from what I saw of the preliminary numbers today, kids didn't choose consistently across the board. They chose a little bit out of social studies, a little bit out of English, a little bit out of phys ed, a little bit out of this. And it wasn't enough that you could just get a clear picture to make a reduction.
Sure.
Looks to me like if you wanted to go an A period a day, you would have to reduce it for them.
Right.
I didn't have a lot of time to spend on that today, but that's my personal gap.
It just seems like there's a lot of, I mean, most people prefer the 9 period day. You do.
I do.
Students do.
Clearly.
To me, it just seems, if we're talking $100,000 savings, it's probably not a very, it's just not worth it. But if we're talking $1 million savings, that's worth exploring.
I think it's $1 million plus savings if you choose for them, but Leah didn't do that.
Well, then we would almost have to if we were going to justify
you
it.
You would.
I mean, it,
so just philosophically change the way you. This is what's offered.
Correct. You would just go in and choose courses that were not in the schedule. Yeah, that's what you would have to do.
And that would bring us down to how many periods?
You could get to 8 or 7 pretty, you know, easily to do that. But again, that's, I'm not sure I'm ready to go there yet. If we get through this and we don't have a picture, we may have to go there.
But as a working session, that's a, that's a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
later
that's,
on. I don't.
Kind of where I'd like to see this go.
I don't want to turn it into what would you call it, an autocratic.
Here's the problem you'll have, again, in a high school year, and most of you have helped your kids schedule for high school, but your core periods are basically five core, and then you get out to have some choices. In some years, those choices are made for you. Freshman year especially, when you're talking about health and PE and those kinds of things. So if you want band and VOAG, or band and choir, or band and art, or business, or a technology class and art, or so on, wow. You're all of a sudden you're banging up against your possibilities, and that's the reason why we've always liked a 9:30 day, because it gives that stretch to those kids. Now you take that stretch away, and you could start. You don't offer as many choir courses. You don't offer as many art classes. You don't offer as many technology classes.
Or you increase the capacity of those classes that you offer.
Possibly. But
I mean, if you can.
But you still get kids to schedule into them.
Sure.
I mean, you can increase the capacity and not get anybody to schedule into it. And it doesn't help.
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
So is there more on the forecast, or can we, regroup on what our objectives should be?
Right. So, I mean, we clearly see what the numbers are for. I mean, next year, for next fiscal year, we're in the green. We're in the green. But the year after that, we are.
And it's kind of what I was thinking, just toss it out there,
sure.
Is that just looking at the cash balances, as you were stating, that next 2012, we're looking at $1.9 million in the cash balance.
We'll round that up.
Yeah. And then 2013, we're negative $2.4 million. And then 2014, assuming the renewal, there's a renewal.
Yeah, there's a renewal of 14, right?
Minus 8.6.
Yeah.
I guess what I was thinking is we could put that up, and that's kind of focusing on just listing out some targets.
Yeah, I would like to know one thing, though, and that's what came up, and that's the PI. And the effect that the TPP is going to have on the PI, because that
can we keep that until later?
Sure.
That works. Yeah,
because that's important. That's fine, yeah, no, but that's important. I mean, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, well, it's got us a lot nervous, actually. But let's keep that one, because that really becomes complex. And
right, that's fine. I just want to make sure we touch to it. Yeah, I know. Almost, I just want to make sure we touch on that tonight. So sure.
So my thinking is our first thing is trying to just kind of list out the things we can do to get our cash balances up in the next couple of years. It's kind of a stopgap. And then...
you want to run the whiteboard? it won't squeak, but...
We'll move it over there.
That's fine. Are you left-handed or right-handed? You got a marker?
Yep.
Can I get a marker? Do we have any markers in here? Going.
I said 4 minutes version.
Did I say poison pen?
What's that?
Poison pen?
No. So I guess my thinking was that we focus in on just.
All right. So you want to put fiscal year 11 up there?
Should we do 11? I mean, is there much we can do to impact 11?
Well, that's... Oh, no.
I've been
sorry.
Doing that. It's been confusing me,
I apologize. You're right. No, I keep on... You're right. So 12, we're at
1.8.
8, or 1.9, if you'd like.
Well...
if you'd like to round up.
Well, I'm going to round everything up, that's so fine. If we can focus that way.
Okay.
Yeah, 11, you only have a couple more months in this, but I mean, still, we're... Still going to the finish line underspending.
Sure, and I think that's good. It'll just reflect the
because
right?
The higher the balance on June 30, the better it is out.
Exactly. Yeah. All I was thinking is anything we do in 11 will reflect here, right? It'll reflect all the way down.
It'll pull it through. Yes.
So you would hope that would be a worst case scenario for 2012, right? It's 1.9. Then if we save more money between now and next month, that number would go up, right?
Oh,
but what are you predicting we're going to... Our cash balance is...
We're predicting the cash balance is going to be around $3.9 million on June 30 this year.
Oh, right.
So, right.
Which is better than what we were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But next year we're taking more of a loss from the state than what we anticipated.
Yeah, if they find out you have money, they'll give you less.
No, they do funding.
That's how it works.
That problem.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's kind of buying gas.
But I mean, as a board, or
sure,
is this our primary focus? Is trying to get that fixed?
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, we'd like to get that fixed.
Well, it'll roll forward.
Right. Well, fixing this doesn't fix that. Right?
No, but it makes it a lot
better. Right?
Yes, I agree.
I just want to know what our target is, our initial target.
I think my opinion would be, what was that 2.4 when I was working on it. I was looking at that 2.4 number.
And then just kind of thinking ahead, the other things that I had in mind is if we can fix that or come up with some ideas to fix that,
sure.
Then the next thing we should look at is our deficit spending. Because even though... those are cash balances. In 12, we're still, $2 million deficit, if I'm at that right?
Yeah.
And then 4.3. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have this first step towards sustainability would be spending less than we bring in. So that would be a next...
I just want to make one remark about that.
Sure.
And that's it, you know, if our bucket didn't have a hole in the bottom, it would make sustainability much easier to keep that level of water where it's at.
Sure, understood.
So... We can only be sustainable to a point, and then
I just
brainstorming. So my thought was, is focusing rather than a lot of zeros, focusing on just
have at
$1 million stuff.
Sure.
Come up with ideas that we have that can get us there.
And I want to make sure I note this, not only the people here, but the people listening on our recording. Yeah. These are just ideas.
Yep.
Please do not walk away tonight and go tell your neighbors, look, they're getting rid of fifth grade. I heard it at the meeting. We're not going to do it anymore. Right? This is just ideas to look further into and to talk about stuff like that. There's no decisions. And I just want to, you know.
Doug Lasseter wrote it on the board.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I gave you the pen. Because, you know,
I noticed that.
So I just want to make very clear. It's just, we're just going to throw it up there. You know, it may not even be worth it. You know, like cutting it down to 8 periods.
Well, I was just saying, let's put that up there. But we, even though we got ballparks on that.
Let's put it up there. Let's something to look at.
I don't know how we can do this. Can we maybe have a, I mean, is there a way we can get a number for the, just a rough number for the 8 period day? A target number?
What do you want to be?
So that's what you're, whatever it is, you work backwards.
Really? I mean, that's really what you want.
I mean, how much could you get out of it, I guess, would be the, and then work your way back from that.
I mean, really, the only way to go into it is really, I mean, you have the kids choose, and they're going to choose what's on the schedule, and you won't. But if you go in and reduce 2 courses here and 2 courses here that impact a teacher, all of a sudden you start adding things up. So you almost got to start backwards. And say, this is where we're going to go in and reduce these course offerings because they're not core in the state requirements. But that's what you have to do.
Okay, let's
just take $500,000.
I was going to say, let's get rid of the 0.4 with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of the 0.4 with that.
Yeah, in other words, that could be 0.4. Just for
$400,000.
$400,000.
Okay, so each year, starting in 2012, so that would be a 0.8 net on.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
So let's just focus on 2013.
So that would be a schedule. That would be scheduling philosophy or whatever you want to call it.
Doug, if I just type them up.
Draconian schedule.
That works for me.
What's the matter?
That's our
new. We got a new whiteboard,
and you can actually read it.
Can you zoom that in just a little bit for those old guys back here? I was thinking about you.
Thank you.
You zoom it on here. I'm
so
is that Excel?
Yeah,
hit control and
control, and then roll your mouse.
Since you got an Excel, can we put like a column for 2012, 2013, and then have that represent the net cash impact on both those?
It's technology, baby.
Well, the cash impact would be 800,000, right? If you're doing 412, then the cash impact would be 8. Because if we're chipping away to 2.4, we'd want to keep track of the net cash.
Right.
No, because if you're taking out 4 here, you're taking out 4 here.
Right.
Why don't we just take out what 12 is, and then we'll plug it
in. We can put a total with you.
And then we'll plug it into, if you're going to take it out in 12, we'll plug it into the forecast and see what it does then.
Well,
that's the easiest one. Because you take 400,000 out here, which is what you're saying is going to be mostly salaries.
Okay. Let's say that it is. Okay. Right.
And then it'll take that the rest of it out.
It will, but it won't it be... I mean, if we save 400,000 or 0.4 million in 2012, every year with this change, then that would be 0.4 in 2012, 0.4 in 2013,
right.
And the net impact on cash would be 0.8.
Right, and then you're going to have the net, then put the cash here.
Okay. That's fine. You can do that. That works for me.
But if we're working toward your original thing, the 2.4... We'll just extrapolate out once we get that. So let's go. We got 0.4. Let's look at how do we get to the 2. And then we can build it. We can build it from there.
That works.
Okay? I know what you're saying. I'm the same way. I build the most elaborate spreadsheet I can, just to confuse everybody.
I just want us to be focused in on that 2.4. And so that all the numbers are normalized to that year.
Yeah, that's fine.
Past,
that's fine.
And that makes more
that's
just easier to work with. But that's fine.
And just round numbers, that's about 7 staff members.
Okay.
All right. I guess I'll throw it out there. Right. Since I know we talked about it the last time, really, what's a budget freeze for 1 year sales?
What do you mean by budget freeze?
Okay, what's a minute? I guess
we lock the whole budget.
Yeah,
down, right.
Well, no so I just go. Didn't we talk about salary freeze the last time? Did we not?
Well, we should talk about the entire budget.
But the entire budget freeze. Okay, well, that would be salaries and benefits and
expenditures
and everything else. Is that possible to do? Some of those expenditures you may not be able to do. Your purchase services you may not be able to do. But can you give a round number for what that would look like? If you
freeze the budget to this level here, you're looking at for 46.6, this is 48.3, so you're at $1.7 million there in 1 year if you do a total budget.
You're calling DPNL or do you have
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's some of those things we can't do, so I'm not trying to,
it is salaries and benefits, so if we start there, we can add.
Okay, if we start there, if we did across the board salary and benefit freeze, what does that say? And however that 26, 27 pay deal works in there, I don't know what effect that
I'm
has.
Not even going to ask that.
I don't know.
What's that?
I'm not even going to ask that. I'm totally lost.
I think so. Let's go 700,000 on that.
Okay.
What is that one? That's just
steps. What? Sorry. I'm looking at my cheat sheet.
Your cheat sheet?
Yeah, so you're 7. That's about 800,000. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're probably closer to it than that.
I think. If you take the benefits portion, are you talking about you're just doing a rough.
Well, I'm just doing a rough, so I'm looking at the salary increase with 2012 would be 569 and if you did a freeze on the 8% of the budgets, it would be another 392.
I mean, just looking at the back pages with the, what you have in there for steps and what you have in there for, and then you got to understand that there's also about 20% for every increase there over on the retirements and benefits page too.
Okay, whatever close estimate you want to put up there is okay. But I just want to make sure it's not a pie in the sky.
It comes out to around 700,000 a year the steps do alone when you add in the retirement piece of it. And then the freeze in the salaries, it looked like there was only one more pay increase that, right? There's only one negotiated salary increase in the forecast, so that's only 300,000.
Right. Okay, so 700,000 a good number to work with then?
Sure.
Okay. So that's 1.1. Pardon, we're halfway there.
Well, okay.
All right. Now what?
Saves us real quick. Budget freeze for how long?
We talked about 2 years.
Okay. So 2 years would be 2.1, right? A net, the cash. Because you do 700 this year, 700 next year.
2.2.
So you would be saving a net cash of 2.1. That's 700 that you would increase this year, we get paid twice.
I get it.
So that'll be 2.1, right?
That's why you use spreadsheets. It does it for me.
What's that?
2.2.
Or 2.2. Where's
2.2? 800 and
1.4.
We got 700 each year.
My old.
Well, she's right.
The 712 is paid twice, right? It's paid in 12 and paid in 13. So that's a $1.4 million savings if you just froze 1 year. If you freeze 2 years, then it's going to be $2.1 million.
Okay. That's 12. Okay. 13. Okay.
I don't think it would work that way because that's not how it works. It's only based on if you cut it once, I think that's going to be too much. But we'll see.
Okay. If you cut what once?
Salaries.
Freeze it once.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Freeze it once, you can't freeze it twice.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean the...
Yeah. Well, that increase happens.
We don't have it.
Anyways. What's that?
Okay. And that doesn't include the benefits number then that we were just talking about. We kick in 8% every year as an increase on our premium, right?
Yes.
So that's another $392,000.
Let's not add that.
Let's not add that?
Because of what we just discussed on the other one. As it freezes, it doesn't. You can't.
Oh, I think we got to put it on the board.
Yeah, I just want to put it on the board. Yeah. I just want to put
if
it on.
I mean, none of this means anything. So if our numbers right. are off, then they're off.
Yeah, okay. No. I just want to see. I just want to look at it.
All right,
I'm going to talk to it.
Yeah, okay. Talk to it.
That's fine. Talk to me, Jeff. Talk. To
yeah,
me.
I'm trying.
All right, Goose. Talk to me, Goose.
All right. None of this means anything. We should plug into a forecast. Meaning that. In terms of what it adds up to.
What did you say that was? 392. Yeah, all right, 400. All right, we had talked about. I had a question the other day, and I don't even know if this is worth it or not. But I know we pay a stipend for people to not use our insurance. If we took that stipend away, I know we do it to keep them off of there. I'm just curious how much that is, and does it keep them off? I mean, I don't know. Is it worth even looking at to say, if we don't pay it, are we going to get a bunch of people on our insurance?
Yep. That's reason to say.
That's probably a hard one to...
I don't know, but I saw that number, and I thought, how many people do we pay out that stipend to? Do you happen to know?
You don't have to pay it.
I was just asking. Yeah, I mean, I didn't look at it.
I mean, put it up on the list. I don't know what the number is. We have 100 and some people that
don't get it. Don't put it in.
About 50,000.
I don't know. That 100
Yeah, I'm thinking it's right around 50. We'll just say it. We'll say that. I have no idea if it is or not.
Seems like a risky gamble.
Well, especially 50,000.
Red or black? Red or black?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. For 50,000. I'm just looking at it. So.
Larry, what's the bus radius right now?
Bus radius is 2 miles, except in certain areas that we've determined as
critical,
hazardous.
Is there any way to move that out? Or move it, or move busing away from the high school.
Because they run a dual route now, right?
Well, they triples, actually triple stack some routes. We're looking at that right now. That's the reason why, in my opinion, I think what we did with the route made more sense. Actually, here's the problem. That you didn't used to have, you now have. On transportation, although who knows what the state's going to end up cutting next from a reimbursement standpoint, but you get reimbursed for the kids, the riders. Didn't used to be the case. You used to get reimbursed for the high school kids, but now you do. It's the answer to the folks eliminating high school busing.
Right.
So they lowered the amount, but give you a butt tax, basically, for every kid that sits on the bus. But we've done some scenarios of what happens if you go back and do no high school busing.
Right.
In a 148 square mile district, it just becomes complex because you're running those roads anyway. And what you're going to do is run the buses emptier. Now, you can stack them up and pull some buses off the routes, but you're going to have longer routes. Now, long answer to that is, yeah, you probably eliminate high school busing because it's allowed. And the only way you're going to save anything is by having longer routes, picking up kids earlier,
right,
those kinds of things.
But you're running double routes right now.
Sometimes we're running triple routes.
So if you run a single route and no high school.
Single routes, we'll have to add buses.
Okay. But do we save operational cost?
Probably not, because once you put a person on there, it just makes more sense. Plus, we couldn't buy the buses anyway. We can afford to buy the number of buses we need to single route.
Does the state reimbursement pay for all of our transportation?
Oh.
Yes. I'm sure it does.
We actually make money.
I'm sure we do. how much of it does it pay for, percentage?
Probably the same amount as, probably about 20%, 20%.
Really?
8%, somewhere in that percentage. So give it all back, is that what you're saying?
No.
Just don't run any buses?
Walker, we could be a walker district from 148
square miles.
148 square miles. You'd have to camp in town.
Going back to your question, high school busing, eliminating high school busing, we have to do some more studying. But I wouldn't recommend it because of the number of routes. And this district is just, we run a lot of roads. And you might as well run your buses full if you're going to run them. That's kind of my opinion. I hate to pass kids up. But I suppose we could probably pull a couple more off. Somebody asked?
Tracy.
She wanted you to finish that.
The 2 mile radius is also interesting because of where those kids are. And we got to go into those neighborhoods and the way we're doing them now, we have to go into those neighborhoods anyway to pick up middle school kids.
Right.
And again, the philosophy is fill them up where you're going because they're coming here and then going to high school anyway. We don't truly believe that moving the radius out and not picking those kids up would save us anything.
Okay.
So those are kind of where you're stuck right now. And again, it has to do with the geography of the district. We have trimmed so far down, so closely on the transportation. As Tracy says, I mean, we're running lots of kids in some of these buses. They're running full. But they're running full because you get better reimbursement and because we're efficient.
You can't fit 3 high school kids.
You can if you don't get them lunch.
And you make them run every day.
So that's kind of the problem with transportation right at the moment.
Okay, well, I have
so we can't put anything up there, is what I hear you saying. But it's okay. I'm all right. I just wanted to
put high school busing up there.
If it's not realistic,
an option, you may be able to wiggle one or two buses out of that. I mean, and that would be truly a wiggle.
Is that about 70 grand?
Yeah, about 70,000.
See, that's a rounding error for what we're doing.
Then you wouldn't have to add, but when it comes time for bus reimbursement,
so is the stipend.
That's a big rounding error. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you have 70,000. If you find another 70,000, and you find another 70,000,
right, becomes real money after a while. But right now we're looking at a pretty huge gap that doesn't get you there.
I don't think you can reduce your way out of this mess.
What do you got, Tracy? You were going to say something.
I was.
Well, where's yours?
The allocation for the attorney's fees, was that $195,000? Why can't we use the prosecuting attorney's office more? It's statutory.
We do some.
I know we do some, but it's pretty minimal compared to the two law firms. I know it's a pay me now, a pay me later thing, but I would hope that there would be more things that.
Yeah, well, it's something you could look at. You know, reduce it down, just pick a number and say reduce it.
Reduce it by half.
So 100?
100.
100?
So,
should have space on the padding.
And then I think we talked about the police officer at the high school and the possibility of renegotiating that. How much? if you were actually receiving what we were paying, that would be completely different. I don't know, by half? How long is an officer there? 7.5, 8 hours a day?
About 8 hours.
So it's full shift, pretty much. Full shift, I would think.
I'm guessing, I don't know.
What's that?
I was just saying full shift.
Now we're paying $80,000 right now.
We're paying 100 right now.
100?
Isn't that what we said last time?
80.
Oh, it is 80.
That's crazy. That's like $55 an hour.
Well, that's because we pay benefits and everything.
Yeah, you're
paying
fully loaded.
The
whole
thing?
Fully loaded. But I just want to be clear, at least for me personally, getting rid of that is a non-discussion. I mean, we can renegotiate, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just talking
about... I'm not holding it up, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't necessarily support
it. I'm not sure that's fair at this point, because there's some things up there that I would say are non-negotiable.
Well, I got to tell you what, the safety is... paramount, and I don't know how you could have a high school that size without something like that.
I think that's why we should probably avoid talking about what we would do or not do.
Okay.
Unless we just want to make it clear to people that we're not doing it over and over.
You apologize for the comment you made about my busing at 70,000.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's what I hear you saying, actually.
Actually, I was wrong, because it rounds up to 0.1, which gets it on the radar, man.
Okay. So
yes.
All right.
Yeah, okay. It's hard.
I don't know how much then if we're paying everything, but
there's no point.
What about energy?
Can't go
what about energy? Where are we on energy, Larry? Where can we, you know, can we turn the lights off? Can we turn the heat down? I mean, can we turn the air conditioning down? No. I mean, I'm serious.
Keeps them awake.
We're kind of like the high school busing at this point.
I understand.
I mean, we've ratcheted and ratcheted, and you know, we are an Energy Star district. That means that on average, we're using 35% less than that same building does someplace else. That qualifies you. I mean, that speaks volumes for what we've been able to do. Could we keep going? It's kind of difficult.
I understand.
And we've got control issues in some of our buildings we could still take care of.
Better controls.
But other than that, we do an excellent job in this district of utilizing energy. It becomes, at this point, kind of people management. Getting people to close the doors, getting kids to close doors, getting, you know, using your buildings less by your public. Those kinds of things. So
do we charge for that?
We do.
Do we charge enough for that?
It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the public, we charge
way too much.
Absolutely.
Talk to the board, we don't fund.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
I mean, there was, this might be off topic, but we were talking about controls last summer, and there's a handful of those controls that actually saved money, that by themselves, they actually saved us per year. So the total package had some things in there that, you know, we were going to pay for with the savings. But if we strip those out, there, and again, we're back to probably a rounding error, but I want to say it was $30,000-something.
Is that for Mill Valley?
I don't remember.
It was a whole list of things, but I think there was a...
I thought it was higher.
It's higher than
that. I thought it was closer to my... Not discussable 70.
I was thinking so too, but the reason sheet I'm looking at says 30. So, but anyways, I mean, if we're getting into the 70 with the utility cost or fuel costs going up, that might be higher. Get us to 100,000 if we look at relook at some of those controls that would actually pay for themselves.
What about the extended days?
Hold on. Let's put a number there. She's putting it up there. Let's put a number there. What do you figure?
Well, nothing in this 50
cents.
By any.
What's that?
50 cents.
50 cents. You'd, you'd have, it's probably a 3-year payback.
I thought there was some that paid for results.
Not me.
Year one.
None of them.
Okay. I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll refresh it.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
But even at a 3-year payback, it's worth it.
I think it's worth looking at anyway. It's just what number are we going to put on it? Well, it'll be zero for this year or next year.
Yeah, zero. All
right. Put a zero in here. That works out well. Let's do that one.
I'll do two times that.
Yeah, and that'll double itself next year. Yeah. It'll carry over.
I want to say that most of them were lighting, though, right?
Yeah, a lot of them were lighting.
Yeah, we were going to change out the lights.
Well, yeah, you had some lights at some of your tall boxes. High school auditorium, high school gym, some of those spaces that were pretty neat and payback. Also, the big, your big payback was the controls at the middle school and the controls at the old middle school.
The old middle school. What about the old middle school?
I mean the Mill Valley, the old middle school.
What about the old middle school? What about it? What are we doing with it right now?
Using the technology, meetings, and those kinds of things.
I mean, the middle school controls were a negative $31,000 annual payment. And then that with the OEM savings and the negative
that space, only because we have it ratcheted down anyway, the payback was longer. But you open that building back up, payback, that's pretty good.
And just so we know,
we were putting it all together because, you know,
we're going to bring
getting funding for that is harder if you have smaller packages.
And the Hope Center, is that,
what about, yeah, what about East? What's that bring in? Is that part of our?
I haven't put that in. It's about, it's
a little over $100,000. It's $65,000
plus utilities.
Right.
That they'll pay that we don't pay?
It's a little over $100,000.
$100,000? Okay.
One here?
Yeah?
Yes.
And where are we at with that? We're still waiting for when they wrap up their funding?
Yes. Coming up on these.
Oh, was it? Okay. Did you have something else, Tracy? I thought we caught you in mid-sentence.
So. The extended day, the extra days outside the contracts, last June, like the 400 days. I don't know what that.
Right, that was. I don't know. That was on my list as well, though, just to kind of put up there. So.
Don't go outside of contract.
No, you don't have to. Not totally, but is there a way to reduce those? Maybe some.
It sounds like 400
I mean, I don't
days.
Think you have to reduce them all, but I mean, is there a way to reduce some of those? I don't know what those cost us. I don't know how many days it were and how much it cost.
There were 400 days.
All right.
We did the math. I remember. I can't remember what it was, though.
I didn't have that on the notes.
We sat here and figured it out.
I did. Yeah. You were trying to find the calculator. Right?
Yeah, and you just did it.
Any idea what that number would be?
I don't remember what it was.
I don't either.
An amount,
I do remember the incident.
I'm thinking it's 40,000.
Remember what it is. Mm-hmm.
35,000. Yeah. What number? It's never been over
100, I thought. 35,000? Oh, hold on. That's a big number.
Yeah. 2.5 million.
We're going to consider that a lower.
Yeah.
John and I's.
That's, I mean, that's all right. That's
all right. But maybe you can't eliminate them all together.
You cannot.
No.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I don't think you can.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's a good conservative number.
Yeah.
All right. I guess you can.
Yes. Right. Yes, you could.
Yeah. For this,
you just won't be ready.
Sorry.
Right.
You won't be ready for the kids. You just won't be.
Are you really ever?
Well, yeah. I think
I'm just kidding.
Really I just don't.
I was just thinking to myself and my own children.
Stuff that happens in August that needs to happen in order to get ready to open school smoothly. Just doesn't
what
happen.
Else you got?
Man, I got all kinds of them. We can be here all night. How much did we spend on substitutes last year? Sick pay and substitutes.
about half a million.
That's it? Just wondering if there was a way to, I mean, I don't know, I know that what the policy is now for classified substitutes. You know, if they're not required by an IEP or they're not, you know, if it doesn't shut down your transportation, is there a way to, I don't know what your policy is now, so I'm just asking that question.
You don't.
We don't use subs now for?
We don't use subs now in areas that are, that we don't need. We can get by with it. I mean, if it's a safety issue and
right.
and so on, right. we use this up. That's the problem. I mean, we're in a people business.
I understand. I'm just, you know, there's, you know, there's money there to,
yeah.
if you can save it. I mean, your professional development. I mean, when you pull all your fourth and fifth grade teachers out for a conference, is there a way to do that? During their planning period,
at
or during
conference
a
conference at night,
or no, I mean
they don't run at night.
I understand that. I mean,
those are the issues that you run into.
I mean, we web conference all the time in my business. Is there a way to do it here? We certainly have the technology to do it. Is there a way to schedule that so we can do it, so we don't have to call a sub in, so everybody's got to head over to the same building and do it? Is all I'm asking. Is there a different way to go about doing that? I don't even know if you put a number there. That was more of a suggestion than maybe.
Okay.
What do you have on your list, Doug? I know you got one over there.
Got these are the numbers I got off that sheet Cindy sent to the Finance Committee. The increase in employee contribution health care. That was like, that was somewhere around 900,000.
If everybody goes to Plan A, you mean?
You had some percentages in there, like bumping something up to 30, something up to 20, something up to 10.
Do you remember? Really?
Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember. I'm still brave.
On those PDFs that were sent over?
Yeah.
No, that went to the Finance Committee, didn't it?
I
didn't get that from Cindy. That must have gone to the Finance Committee. I mean, I didn't get it as part of her package she sent to
the
board.
No. I'm talking about way back when we had the list of those cuts that the Finance Committee sent out, and they put some numbers to it.
Way.
So I don't know what those numbers are, but I'm just saying there's
a year ago or so.
Not too much.
Let's see if I can even find it.
That a year ago?
Like
that was December,
yeah.
January.
It was December. I mean, there's one.
So,
speaking of finance,
what are you talking about?
Just increasing the employee portion of the premiums, I think is what it was. And it was, I don't know what Senate Bill 5 requires or is going
15.
To.
15%.
Oh, I think it's 15.
No, 15.
15%. So, yeah, and I don't know what that equates to, but that's.
Well, it'll change what our health care looks like. Because if you charge everybody 15%, nobody will go to Plan C. Which is your high deductible plan. I mean, the philosophy behind the three plans that we have there would be destroyed by one common. You go to one plan at that point and call it a day, and bid that one plan. And I don't know what that is. Plan C is a high deductible plan. We encourage folks to go on there. For you know, the percentage being what it is. Plan B is 10% currently, and also high deductible, and plan A is more traditional, but it's a 20% deductible, or 20% copay, or premium. And copays, if doctor's office copays don't count towards the deductible and so on within that plan.
I only use that number because that's the only one I saw, but there's a different number that we can, there's a way that you can
ideas that we just gave.
That's all we're doing here.
I mean, okay, on these here, we were talking about insurances, they said if the employee paid 20% of the premium, it would be $22,000 for what the
provision,
elimination of vision, or the totally paid, that would be another $112,000. So, you know, you want to put something like that up there, but and then dental, same way, totally paid.
120%. Dental. So if they paid 20% of the dental insurance, that would be
$112,000.
No, 120%
of the dental.
Dental.
Just dental. It's 22% of the vision.
Of the premium?
Of the premiums. And those are based on what? Past.
What percentage of the premium do they pay now?
None.
I mean, I don't see any reason why we can't put those on the list, since all we're doing is building a list, unless we think those numbers are wrong. Mm-hmm. Or they're not in ballpark.
No, those would be pretty legit numbers, actually. Yeah. They are what they are.
Mm-hmm. They're just basically.
I mean, nobody here is recommending this.
No. Just put on the list.
What's that, 600?
If they totally paid their dental.
If they
totally paid their dental, or we didn't pay it at all.
I think you're much better off, or I, you know, once you're done here, put a slash, or another option besides premium, because again, what we've tried to do in the district, from a philosophy standpoint, is to go into the plan and to figure out a way to make that plan more. You know, I don't know what more what we want it to be, and then and in lieu of premium. Now, it's easy to just say 20% of premium. The issue is what's the number? What's the cost of the total plan? We'd rather look at the total plan and then decide what the premium is actually. And again, that's just the philosophy of how we've done it.
We do have a finance committee that's kind of focusing in on that. So, I mean, I don't know that stuff well enough to say one way or the other. Just figure it should be on the list.
Although, you know, I like the way our three plans work now, just because you get people on plan C that they, you know,
they
pay into it, and typically, I mean, that's really kind of what fuels the plan. But are we even going to be allowed to do that? I mean, it doesn't sound like it. It has to be 5 actually stays in. I mean, we'll actually have to go to plan A.
No, you won't.
We'll have to pay, have to go to some plan that they pay 15%.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, that's my understanding of it. If you have a different understanding, I'd...
Is it average? I don't know what it is. Yeah. Nobody knows what it is.
Okay.
That's the issue. Again, you can charge 15%. You know, and if I look at what some places in this community, you know, some of the local folks are paying $1,600 a month for family coverage, and 15% of $1,600 is different than 15% of $800.
Right.
Our plans are $800.
Right. I was just trying to look and see what.
We'd much rather figure out a way to keep that number low.
Sure.
So maybe we just say we look to save $100,000 in this insurance and whatever that looks like.
I mean, I just
that's where I'd much rather go.
Yeah,
to be very honest. Now, again, right. to what Jeff said, I don't know. At the end of the day, when they get done with us in Columbus, what they're going to require us to do. My fear is this, is that they're going to force us all to go into a pool, and we're going to spend more.
Yeah, that's going to be way more expensive.
So, we'll see.
Pool,
well, I don't know.
It's a dirty pool. It's a dirty pool.
We'll see.
It's a dirty pool.
What else you got?
Well, it's just mainly stuff off that list. So, if we could just pull some of those numbers that we had, or at least those ideas off, and say, look to save that amount without the details of, you know.
The details are so
different. Well, I, you know, maybe it's not realistic.
No,
but at least getting it on the list. Sure. Because the idea here is we get the numbers up there and then we figure out where,
I agree,
you know, where we can put that check. Our goal.
Did you want all those up there, or were there some specific ones?
No, just the ones that had, the big ones that had numbers. I think there was like, well, that's the pig out.
We're going to have to get 5 million on the list in order to have the conversation.
What's that?
We need to get 5 million on the list in order to have the conversation about 2.4.
Now, that's an interesting number there for...
You're exactly right. Yeah. And well, some of those overlap.
How does that
work? Right?
How does that work?
You don't...
Exactly.
Well, HSA.
We need,
how does HSA save us?
Same as what we've got.
So does that actually save us 187,000?
This is moving everybody from plan A to plan to plan C from A to B.
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking. Oh. All I saw was move to HSA plan and then 187.
You're going to move everybody to plan C to a $6,000 deductible. Mm-hmm.
No.
And it's or 16,000 if it's out of network. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant.
Then you're 50,000.
Yeah, risk.
It's a given. Did you want to put that one on there? Although, I don't know.
What is that? What was the 1.4?
That's the STRS.
Pick up the payment of the retirement that we pay.
Is that part of Senate Bill 5?
No. That is part of Senate Bill 5.
Whatever
it
says.
Comes out of it. But
I gotta tell you what, though, that particular issue has. I mean, there's more to that than just saying we're not going to pay that anymore.
There is. I agree.
I mean, there's a lot more to that because that was an agreement we made to pay that. And now that the legislature says we can't pay it, that doesn't necessarily equate to we're just not going to pay it.
Well, I think anything on this list is agreements.
I know.
So I'm not...
Okay.
I understand what you're saying,
though. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to add that one to the list or not. I don't...
I mean, it's on there whether we write it up there or not.
All right. Yeah, put it on there. Yeah.
I think it needs to be put on the list.
All right, put it on the list. That 1.4 on the list.
I mean, John made a good point. We would probably need about 5 million.
Yeah, I know.
Just to have a conversation.
Exactly.
And some of these do overlap. Like, I don't know about, I would imagine so, that cutting here, you're cutting, you know, you're cutting the same dollars right. Twice.
Oops. 14
wow.
million. Wow. We just
I don't think we've paid quite that much in retirement.
That one may end up costing money.
Oh, yeah, it would be more expensive with workers' comp and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
What is the total of column D right now?
Look at that.
Just draw it down, sir.
You're still not at 8.6.
What's that?
You're still not at 8.6.
Right.
What's that last column? I'm sorry. Is that 4 or 14
days?
I thought that was cash, man.
Yeah, it's cash.
So that we're at 8. Which is, I mean, we're only looking through 13. That's cash for 30. If I'm saying that right.
I mean, I know these are our ideas, but I'd certainly like to hear from maybe you two, maybe some, you know, what you guys are thinking about along the way as well. I mean, it's not just the opportunity for the board to see.
No,
I mean, I would like to hear ideas from.
You guys got $1 million.
I mean, you open up to the floor.
I mean, anybody. I mean,
lottery tickets.
Go play it.
Yeah, where's our lottery money coming? I can never find that.
I can't either.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff, do you want to put levy options up there?
I mean, it's, if it's part of the discussion, I mean, you might as well. But I mean, I don't know what, yeah, I don't know what number you would put to it, but
yeah.
I mean, that's up to you. That number would come from you, not from me. Okay, well, we know that one mil gets us how much?
It used to get us 636.
Yeah.
This is 688,000.
Oh, 688.
Why not?
It used to was over 800,000.
Right.
And you get what, like half of that the first year? So, like, the best you would do is get half of that in 12? And then
well, half of it in a fiscal year, yeah.
Right, that's what I meant.
In the back end of 12.
Now, $7.9 million just isn't what it used to be, is it?
7.9 mils, is that what you said?
7.9 mils.
Oh, if you just want, are you talking about if we just put a flat levy on there and didn't do any reduction?
Well, you still have in there, remember, you still have 18 people in this.
Oh yeah, okay. No, but I'm
not counting those as reduction.
I got no, come on. I'm just asking what she's putting in there.
I just put 7.9, 9.9.
Okay.
Let's see what 9.9 you're
right.
Gives us.
You got me. That didn't have any effect. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there we go.
Maybe dial that down a little bit.
What if we took all extracurricular to cost neutral?
What's that?
I know it's painful. All extracurricular to cost neutral.
You're talking about increasing pay.
I'm not talking about solutions. I'm talking about a number.
So if the district didn't pay
it's $331,000 right now. I don't know how we get it, that we'd have to work through, but if you brought it to cost neutral and said, you know, it's important, I'm not saying cut it, I'm not saying eliminate
right.
it, I'm saying that it cost the district $331,523.57, plus or minus a couple pennies.
You got a calculator on that thing?
I do.
Multiply that by 50.
You know, it's not pretty, but it's money.
There's nothing on here.
What do you want?
Actually, I was just looking at that. So I was saying, if you increase your pay to play by $10, for every $10, you'd get $38,000, basically. Right? I mean, that's the number of participants, right?
Yes.
So if you just multiply that by 10, you'd be
right.
$38,500 for every $10 of pay to play. So
yeah,
not
but
not all those participants pay to play, like student council, you're not
right. Oh, I see.
Right.
Right.
You're not
right.
charging
right.
for some.
That's why I just want to, in a very general
yeah,
term,
right.
if you
yeah.
said it was cost neutral to the district,
$331,000.
It might not be worth it. It might not be.
The idea is,
you know, they'll probably.
Further investigation.
I can just imagine what is going to happen to my house. You know.
Well, we already have a subcommittee looking at it, right?
Yeah, on average, for every $50 you raise it, you're going to
lose.
It's about for every $50, we're $150 now. So $250 lose $200. Yeah, you offset that number by almost $50,000 on ish.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this has got transportation costs in it.
Correct.
This has salary costs for coaches. This has advisors. This has fees that we collect. And we...
What are we at on there?
And the big... And as you guys can guess, the high school is the big one.
So five?
High school's 240 of the 331. But I think it's important that we keep high school students occupied. You know, you read the police report. If you don't keep them occupied, you pay somewhere else. I have the police officer back here shaking his head. Going, it's about time somebody said that. So, but it's a dollar figure. And I think we... Did we put it on there?
I don't know. I haven't seen
it. Put it on there?
Put it on it.
I've already put it on.
Thank you.
Did you put on a levy? Just so to cover 5.9. Mm-hmm. With the current reductions we have in there now, 5.9 would cost it out, right?
Yes. We can't eliminate lunch. We make money on
it. I was just saying, I'd ask her to get those two, to get that 8.6 down to something above. And so just that's what it would be now if we had to max it out. Right? 14?
What's that total? What else you got there, Jeffrey?
Oh, I'm gonna pass it off to the end of the table down there.
I just have a little stuff.
You know, I have a couple little stuff as well, to be honest with you, but
I was curious if it were, this is really little, possible to combine the middle school AD position with the vice president.
Yes.
What is that, about $4,500? Is that what that stipend for...
No, essentially it would be you'd save a position.
Is that it?
So the athletic director is the assistant principal? For the middle school? I see head shaking, but no one's pulling a revolver.
It's one of the things that
we've looked at
in combination with the 18 reductions.
All right, well,
I'm not sure that's it, but it's one of the options.
What else you got, Jeff?
I have one I know probably isn't very popular either, but I was kind of curious. Library services in our elementary, is that something that if we didn't have those folks in there, we could have our teachers run that curriculum for them? I know we talked about it the last time we had to go through the reduction cycle, and so I've kind of pulled that off that old list that we had.
You're down to...
Because I mean, they're required in the high school and in the middle school. Is that correct?
No.
I just don't want to pick on elementaries. I just thought they were
required to have one.
Right.
Somebody has to oversee it.
Right.
Doesn't have to be that person. Right. Doesn't have to be a librarian.
Right.
You don't have to have a library.
We can have a library. Just is it possible to make that part of the curriculum that the teacher takes care of?
Yeah. It is. I'm trying to think. We've got, I think we have three positions now out of five elementaries. Raymond doesn't have one. We absorbed that a year ago.
Right. So they do it now up in Raymond?
They absorb it. They absorb
so
it who, into their staff.
Yeah. Right, so that's part of their curriculum?
And it is. Part of their duty.
I got you.
Now,
it's
a lot easier to do a Raymond with 250 kids than it is in a building of 500.
Right.
What
do
we...
Sorry. But, put it on the list.
Yeah, I just want to know, just throw a number at it, I guess.
I'm just trying to keep up with the conversation, but on the AD assistant principal
thing,
sorry. Did we ever... We decided that was just not even a good... Not even a...
No.
No, I don't. I think he said that's a position.
I already kind of have it in.
It's already included.
The
18.
in that 18 position.
Right? Trying to not get all 18.
Again, I don't know whether that makes sense or not. I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying it makes sense to have fewer English teachers either. But, you know, but somewhere in there, we have to jiggle the staff around. Mm-hmm. If we decided to go back to 12, 12 is that number that we want to reduce. It adds back in some folks that we'd have to take into consideration. But I think what you're looking to do right now is just kind of as a base, it's 18.
Okay. What else you got over there, Ms. Greer?
I have one that's even less popular than the one you said that someone suggested to me, which was for the future, not in the next year or anything, but looking into redistricting the students from Lane who continue to other elementary schools.
What did you do?
Shutting down Raymond.
Oh, shutting down Raymond.
If you brought them all into one place, you'd have to redistrict three elementaries in order to do that. We did some thinking about that a couple of years ago, and I kind of know how it would work, but you'd save some money, but I'm not sure. You got to level it over the road. Busing is the way we have busing right now, it's a lot more efficient, actually, to have a ring on where it is.
Because then you got to haul all those kids in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still.
Yeah, it works.
I get it. I know how far that is.
But.
Just waiting for the phone call.
It is it's something that's.
Right, because I think we would run into the same thing we had at East, right? Where you still got the utilities, you still got us, others still. I'm trying to remember what was the cost savings when we shut down? Do you happen to remember? I was just trying to figure out if we could plug that number in, it'd probably be relatively.
Well, it's going to be in close to $1 million ish, somewhere in that vicinity. Probably combining services. It's not probably quite that at Raymond, but it's about there. That's a lot.
$7 million.
Wow.
Kids, we're still
holy
at 7
cow,
million.
Come on.
Yeah.
There you go.
Probably isn't that now. Without that aid, with the absorption there, but yeah, that's a number I think you can use.
Where are we at now there?
Yeah, where we go?
You can just draw it down.
Or not. So close to $5 million. I'm down to 5. My list is empty, so I'm...
You want to ask?
Yeah, do you have any more?
They are so minute. And probably not very
popular. Come on.
What?
Not very popular.
He's already beyond that.
No, yeah. That was
that last one you got out of the
I
letter to the editor.
I was stuck because I said, you really want me to say that? the other things were just, ticking into the annual memberships for the OSBA and Alaska and Bass and see, I guess, how much you could possibly save. Which would be pretty minimal. the lobbying fees for the different couple of groups that we're with.
Okay. Would you like to add something to our list? No, I'll be happy to open up the floor.
Can you consider putting on, again, I know it's not popular, but he's not cost neutral for extracurriculars, but if you were to get rid of extracurriculars, your actual savings would go up substantially. I mean, you have great, from finance-based stuff, you're talking about a bigger savings if you actually get rid of
So just get rid of extracurriculars totally?
Yeah, I mean, just if you're making a list
right.
of options.
But I don't think that would save, well, yeah, would that save us any more than just making them cost neutral?
Yeah, the last one that I heard, I mean, it's 900,000.
I mean, if it's cost neutral, it means it doesn't cost us anything.
Right, but that's not the same as saving the money
too. It's difficult to get to cost neutral for student council,
right.
prom, class officers, class advisors. Those kinds of
right,
unless
right.
you're charging some kind of fee.
Right. That's exact.
I think there is a savings that you would have
sure.
for total elimination.
Put it up there.
Plus cost neutral, you know, in some cases going to be $700-800 in some not quite but almost in some instances. Pretty much taking it out of some famous budget.
Well, I don't think that number is right though, is it?
It's
630? $640,000.
It's close enough for what we're doing
okay.
right now.
Yeah.
It's in that neighborhood.
Okay. How come that?
Well, a lot of those. I mean, last year the supplemental contract was $644,000. But a lot of the supplementals aren't necessarily have to do with extracurricular activities.
Yeah, exactly. Some of your supplementals are...
Those are like
coaches.
Those are certification.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's where I got mine.
Yeah, no, I got All right. Well, we'll put it up there. It's up on the... That's cool.
Well, it is whatever it is. I mean, we'll
yeah.
check it out.
So is that... Is
that's
that,
the number... I mean, that's kind of the number we've been...
Is that
using.
Is that called the right thing?
About 700,000.
Cindy's not out now.
Right. I mean, is that called the right thing? Decrease of extracurricular?
Right. But what Tracy's saying is like the...
So you can't do both. You can't go 640 and 330.
Right.
The stipends.
Yeah. For that.
Can
no,
you
can't do both. So that's
okay.
Yeah,
let's understand. That's
right.
Why, that's why I want 5 million.
That's a $1 million. You know.
That's why I want.
That's my savings on.
Right.
I got you.
Way.
Yeah. That's why I want 5 million in
okay.
that column. So I can get.
You get there one way or another, right?
Well, that's the only way we're going to get 2.4 out of it.
Exactly. Okay.
Because some of this stuff is just going to be. Well, you can't do that.
You realize we're over 5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're on a roll, man.
Kind of.
All right, cool.
Someone said, Monty, where are you? You had a comment? Someone? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought someone said you had your hand raised. Okay. Anybody else want to add to this? By all means.
You could reduce the day.
Oh, we reduce the day.
23 hours.
You could, you know, again, we're 1,300 hours per year. State average is, state requirement is 900. We'd have to figure out exactly what that is and what that represents. But there's a number there. I don't know what that number is.
Because we're over right now, right?
Yeah. About 2 hours a day.
Is that $1 million or is that?
I don't know what that number is. I don't want to throw a number at it. It's that. But I'm not sure what it is.
Well, a conservative estimate would be more than that.
One of the other options is that you have the cafeteria church to pay rent to the district. You they charge back for their use of utilities and percent of custodial help. You may have to raise your lunch prices in order to do that, but it's paying back general fund for the use of general fund
right.
dollars.
Right. 50,000.
Along those lines, what else is there?
Building use, we talked right. touched on that a while ago. Building use fees increase. You may be better off actually just shutting your buildings down, that got to be another option.
Oh, no rentals at all?
No rentals at all.
So minimize.
Which would make a lot of people actually pretty happy.
So it would be minimize building operational cost after school day.
Again, what that number, it's going to be tough getting a hold of that number, but there's a number there, and it truly will be saved. Because you just, we would program the buildings to shut down.
Is there anything, Larry, that we can outsource that, you know, I mean, we're good at teaching, we're good at doing this, we're good at that.
Here's the problem with outsourcing, and again, we do it, we take a look at it every now and again, but in Ohio, anytime you outsource, you still have to pay retirement into STRS and SERS. If you could just do like industry does, get a service.
Right, like a cleaning service.
Correct. You can't. You have to upcharge it because they have to pay into STRS because they become
part of the teacher district system.
So
yeah, so are we, aren't we?
It's retirement on us.
I got it like 27 cents.
It's real hard to get a savings there. It really is because you're paying an hourly wage to that company, but then you're paying that company. And then you're getting back charged for STRS, workers' comp, unemployment, those kinds of things.
So what about like the ESCs?
Well, yeah, the ESCs, again, we've taken a look at that, a hard look at hiring staff through the ESC. The issue with the ESC is that if you could maybe hire people at their wages a little bit less, their health insurance is $1,700 a month.
I don't understand that.
Just because of the way they've negotiated their health insurance. It is what it is. I mean, I'm surprised too at the number.
Well, it just seems
high.
There's no point in hiring an ESC if
unless you can really
just like an employee.
Unless
even
you can really get a person to agree a lesser wage, a lot lesser wage than what you're paying.
And you'd have to get someone who you would normally pay a high salary to as well, right? Yeah. I would have to say.
Everybody's lining up for that one.
Yeah, we've been meeting with them. We're trying to get our arms around that.
So is that something that all ESCs do? They require the school district to pay health insurance?
If they
employ them, you're going to pay for that employee.
KSCRS and so on.
So how's that all going to work out with the budget when some of the school districts are going to be required to do the ESC services?
They're going to be paying those costs.
Great question. The only thing that we've looked at is the possibility of staff at the ESC and then allowing that person to come onto our health plan. Because our health plan is cheaper.
Right.
You'd have to write that into the individual contracts. You'd have to get an agreement with our carrier to do that. But it's something that we don't know the correct answer to yet, but we're working on it. That would make some sense.
Yeah, that seems to make a lot of sense.
It truly does. Unless you're really getting somebody again at a negotiated price that's just a lot less than what you're currently paying those people for.
Is that number accurate, Cindy? 4.6?
I don't think so.
Except you've got it's either 330
or 640. Yeah, it's okay.
So
we know that.
Yeah.
Tell them all. Yeah, I'll feel better.
One of the things we've talked about internally is reducing the amount of summer help we have. Means we won't mow grass as often and won't get as many things painted and those kinds of things. But that's about a $40,000 savings. I'm not sure reaches your threshold, but. But again, just understand what comes with that. It's just not as much getting accomplished.
Right.
We've looked at, again, I talked a little bit about eliminating study halls at high school.
I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to make that recommendation unless we just move back, ratchet back our day at high school quite a bit. I think there's a purpose for study halls. And the way we do them with aides instead of staff just makes that more cost efficient also. And again, we could eliminate those aides and put staff in there, but I'm not sure it's good use of people. I think you're exchanging a higher wage person that can do other things for us. I'm not sure it's a good exchange. Extracurricular, instead of eliminating extracurriculars, we looked at a combination of not only paid additional pay to play, but also going into the extracurriculars and actually setting a number of supervisors and coaches to actually limit the number of coaches or supervisors per activity. That may mean there will be more cuts and so on.
Based upon how many kids are involved.
Correct.
So a ratio.
There's quite a disparity.
There is.
But
that all has to, our formula has to do with the amount of time of the activity, the number of kids served, the danger involved in the particular event, and those kinds of things. I don't want to be stupid here and get into some liability issues that are end up going to cost us a lot of money later.
But that's in that.
That's about $50,000.
But that could be in that $330,000 easily inside there.
Cost neutral?
Right.
Yeah. It's a combination, I think, John.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I'm just trying to, we can put it on there, and I think that's fine because,
all of those three
are all.
Now, you can make your pay to play cheaper.
Intertwined.
By not having as many people.
Right.
You can.
And make them, work on transportation and who drives the bus, all kinds of stuff.
We have lots of activities where our own staff drive the bus.
I know, like.
Golf and tennis teams.
Golf and tennis teams, stuff like that.
That just doesn't happen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Make the coaches get their CDLs.
Right. Get on the bus. We're going to football game.
Get all the band directors to get their CDLs.
Those are the ones that, some additional ones I have. So it's,
I know it's kind of popped up and around conversation, but look at the programs and look at maybe some of those. Instead of cutting out foreign language, or I would use foreign language as a because that seems to be the one that always seems to get beat on. But those classes that don't have a heavy attendance in them. I don't know.
That means you're eliminating fourth years generally. You're eliminating your AP courses.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be AP. Maybe it does.
That's what it is.
Okay.
You're eliminating. Typically, it's fourth year.
Well, I'm saying like Latin.
Latin has 17 kids in it next year, I think. I looked at that number today. French 4 has 8.
Okay.
You run it. Those are the decisions. But that's AP French.
All right.
So.
I didn't say it was sport. I was just saying if we,
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and those are tough choices. Those are tough choices every year when we look at that high school schedule.
Yeah,
it's what goes and what doesn't.
I don't even know.
Rich and Susan are sitting right there, but you guys look at the English and the math numbers every year, and it's a tough. You've manipulated the math. Some of the choices even in the schedule for next year.
What's happening with the building east and middle school?
We're renting it out. The middle school building, actually, well, you're going to need the middle school building faster than you need the east. But you want to, at this point, keep it closed as long as you can.
That's the New Hope thing up there or something. They're taking the food pantry, the personal needs pantry, some other things, and putting them all together.
Okay.
So it'll be one-stop shopping for all those services.
When you reopen the middle school, and again, that will have to happen. I just don't know where it is. But even if we're growing about 70 kids, so it's a year. So after a while, you're going to need that. But once you open it, you're going to spend $1 million+ if we open it.
Right.
Because you're still going to need staff there.
And you had a question.
What about eliminating the athletic trainer in high school? I mean, every coach has to be sport and safety trained in their area.
Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't, I mean, sure. I mean, if it's not, if it doesn't cause a safety issue, I mean, I don't, I can't speak to that. So I would, I mean, I don't know.
What does the athletic trainer do?
What is the athletic trainer? Yeah.
They attend some of the sporting events.
They're there every day. I would probably call 911 about 10 times during the rest of the season.
That's a good rest.
Injury range. I mean, it's the same thing. Football. They're probably going to be.
I don't know. That's about $35,000 a year ish, somewhere in that vicinity, if I remember the contract correctly.
Except the thing with the Memorial Hospital.
Memorial Hospital supplies the person. But, and you, yeah, put them on the
list. Yeah, I mean, put on, certainly put on the list.
Without creativity in the school calendar, they can only do a 4-day weeks, maybe making longer holiday breaks. I don't know if operationally it's safe on building or not.
I don't know. I mean, is that a savings to us?
Like
we have
in
to
the winter, I think you probably think you in the winter with heat and
right.
And yes.
Or even some of them are
there.
Maybe 4 days for the kids, but not 4 days
the
for
winter.
Staff. In a lot of cases.
You take it away from the winter, you're going to put it in the summer, so you're going to switch from heat to air. So I don't know that it'll.
It's certainly worth a look. I'm just,
yeah,
sure,
we'll
sure,
it,
absolutely.
We'll put it in there, no dollar amount.
4 day weeks are very cheap.
4 tens?
4 tens are great.
4 tens are great to work. I can tell you that.
Just give us 1,300 hours. Let us decide how to do it. Work.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Work.
Anybody else have any other ideas they want to share?
Monty does.
Yeah, Monty, I know you do. I know you can't sit back to this whole meeting without saying
something. It's not an idea, yeah. It's more than an option.
Sure.
I'll try to be free.
Can you be a little louder, though?
Yeah, I'll try to be a little louder. The Finance Committee is currently in the process of starting four sub-committees to look at some specialized areas that we can do back in December that we thought might realize some significant. One of those would be looking at what is mandated by the state. We've got a real firm understanding of how much that is costing the district and what things might be included for something that we may need to figure out a little bit more creatively in the future if it's not mandated by the state. Another subcommittee is going to be looking at extracurricular activities, which we've been discussing this evening. Another subcommittee will be looking at employee benefits. So that's something that we'd like to framework a little bit more creative. As looking at possible options. The fourth subcommittee will be addressing special education. And again, kind of what's mandated, how we go about approaching that, and where we might be talking about more. My suggestion, and part of the reason I'm so cautious and I was reluctant to say anything, is obviously I've got the Finance Committee hat on. It feels like it all kind of comes close. But at the same time, I'm a community member. Kids in schools. So I come to this with an awful lot of different feelings and concerns. The thing that troubles me, and this was a word that was brought up very early in the evening and repeated a couple times, not the first time I've seen it, the term sustainability, in terms of where we're going to go on going forward. But my concern with what's going on right now throughout the state, especially what's going on in our community, is in terms of we look at how we appear to be grasping at straws here in this to come up with a way to create some sort of substantial savings that will get us through the next couple of years. I look at many of those things, and I think back to the levy that was approved a couple of years ago, and the choice was made to pursue 5 additional operating meals a couple of times, and then to change that to 4 just to try to get the levy passed. And subsequent to that, that operating levy, there were questions in the community about reinstating some of the cuts. And I think darn well that when that 5 mils became 4 mils in an operating levy, there was not going to be reinstating of those cuts. Those cuts were there. When we're looking at this list of things that we think a police officer at a high school, a librarian in the elementary school, we make that decision to get us through 1 or 2 years. My concern is that's a sustainability question. But we are not going to see that back in school again, because I really don't see the state coming around and saying, oh, well, after the past 2 years, everything is hunky-dory. Here comes some additional funding for you. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that happening.
If you don't mind, I agree with you. Those types of cuts aren't sustain things that are going to get you sustainability. Just knocking $100,000 off your budget in an area, you know, even if it was something you could sustain long term, isn't going to solve our sustainability issue. The reason we have an issue there is because our expenses go up, and so just taking a flat item out of your budget isn't going to solve that problem. But my thinking is right now we have an immediate need, cash. We have a cash issue in the next couple of years. We have to first brainstorm ideas to you know,
get our hands around it.
Yeah, get it, you know, at least be able to pay the bills for the next couple of years. And again, we're not making any decisions here. This is just, can we do it? And then I really think as soon as possible we need to think about sustainability. We need to look at what we can do, and it's going to be different than any other school districts have done before. Because I got charts here. Every district, you can go to a Buckeye Institute, pull up every district, and you'll see they all have the same issue. Their expenses are going up, revenues are going slightly declining, and there's you know, we have to come up with solutions that are out of the box, solutions that are not what you know. The way we business as usual, and it's not going to be cutting these things that's going to get us there. It's going to really be looking at compensation, because that's where those expenses are going up. And now the reason why we got to buy time is because we got people that are impacted by those decisions. So if we were to put something in place that's going to be sustainable in the long term, you got to transition to it. You can't just pull the rug out from your current employees. So we got to buy ourselves some time, so that we can come up with a long-term solution, and then we have to figure out how to transition there. I mean, that's my thinking. I'm just thinking.
Sure.
Well, and I think we're all kind of looking at things in the best possible light right now, saying what they can do, how they can create. When I look at something like reducing us to 3 a day, how are we going to get back to the additional dollar? I'm concerned that we're going to be making
No, and I agree with you. I think my personal opinion is our problems are our dollar deficit right now is big, and that we shouldn't be doing things that hurt but have very little return. I don't know what the period day does. I mean, it's $100,000. I don't even think we should waste our time talking about it anymore. But it's $1 million. We have to put it on the list because there's a lot of things up there that hurt to a lot of people. So
I agree. No. Was there anybody else that wanted to offer suggestions to?
I do want to make one point. I appreciate the work that Monty that you're doing,
no doubt,
and the rest of the finance committee is doing, because there's a lot of people that are spending a lot of time looking at these numbers.
Yes, there are.
We spent it's our second work session, and they probably meet a couple times a month now.
Yeah, no, they do. They do a lot of work. All right, well, we've kind of beat this list down. I think we at least... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
When looking at this list, it might be most effective to look at those items that would help encourage people who wouldn't vote for levies to do so. So that's kind of a double savings. If you restructure a district that would encourage the population in our community who don't feel that our money is being used by our schools, that it would then encourage those people to...
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to look at the cuts, at least for me, or the ones that are going to least affect the kids as possible.
Yeah.
Now, I don't. no offense, but I'm not going to, I don't want to throw it out there to get our Raymond voters to vote to say we're going to shut your school down. Just in my opinion. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't, is that what you're
saying? I certainly wasn't, I don't, are you saying that I'm,
Well, it's not, I apologize. It's not me. You're asking me to do cuts that are going to encourage people to vote. Well, the ones that are going to encourage people
to vote. No, yeah.
I mean, in a positive
way. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
There are things in on the list that would not. No, God, no.
I don't know.
No, he means to not cut the things that would make people vote no.
No, I mean, when you look at restructuring the district. If we do the things that, if there's something that an inefficiency in our district or what viewed as a money wasting,
sure,
those would be more effective things to relook, people look at and change, because then you're saving on both ends. You're changing one thing, but then you're changing people's minds.
Sure.
But in a positive sense.
Sure.
Like that, no.
Nothing.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry. I misunderstood you. My fault.
Sensitive area.
Yeah, I get that. I understood. Was there anybody else? They wanted to speak up and get shot down, but no. Yes, go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not really sure. My personal opinion, I think, probably in agreement with everybody, is just putting a band-aid on. I agree with him. I know you're trying to make a short-term decision, but I think it's a band-aid. I think it's a system that's broken. We're trying to react to it with a band-aid. So the parent who has spoken before, I totally think that we should keep intact academics and extracurriculars to provide the best option for the kids, but I think the one thing to remember, there's several things up there. I want to be a good community member just like everybody else, but there are things there, like the building usage for after school. Those don't impact our kids. They don't impact the great teachers. You yourself send me great teaching. And I think if you start to dabble with salaries and whatnot, I think you're going to see fallout. And I think my kids are partly who they are because of the experience that they've had, but they spend hours, they spend sometimes more time with these people. And I just think before you consider salaries and things that they earn, they're the people that are pressing upon our kids' character, not just the learning, academics part, but character and integrity and to be kind to one another and all those things. They get that from me at home, but there are plenty of kids in our community who may not have that sense. And I would just encourage you to look at all the things that are a little more abstract. And I do want to be a good community member. I want to be able to open the doors to things. That right there is one thing that really doesn't impact our kids directly. So I would just encourage you to... I know one of the things that was brought up in a focus group that I had no knowledge of was that... And I could be incorrect, but this is how I understood it, that there are staff who are paid for detention. And I just kind of was baffled by that. And I would encourage you to consider all the little things that add up to be maybe $100,000. And I don't know if there are subcommittees and whatnot. And I'm happy to sit on the subcommittee because this is not a short-term thing. And I tried to do that 3 years ago when we had the levies. And it's just a band-aid, and I just... I'm
really... No,
I just really encourage you to...
Absolutely.
...the other things before you look at salaries and whatnot.
There's no question. I mean, it's obviously our teachers are our most valuable asset. You know, I guess you can look at it. The issue is we still have a financial obligation we have to get to. We're not allowed to run on a deficit. You know, we can squeeze as much blood out of that 15% of our budget that we want to, but at some point, you know, something's going to give one way or another. Either community's got to give more, or that 85% has to give more, or everybody's got to give more, but, you know, we still have a drain, and I know we didn't want to talk about TPP, and I really don't want to talk about it either, but the reality of it is, it's going to be there for the next 8 years. We're going to lose $1 million a year. If we flatlined our expenses, if we didn't spend one additional dollar for the next 5 years, we would still be millions of dollars in the hole. So sustainability, that's the reality of it. So unless that something there changes, someone's going to have to pick up that slack. And so for the short term, you know, until that gets sorted out or, you know, someone at the state decides that maybe that really wasn't a sweet idea, we are where we are. So... And so it's you know, I don't think anybody wants to be sitting here looking at that list and saying, well, we're gonna have to get rid of this or get rid of this. But
those little things are important, though. I've heard you say several times, that's so little, it's not worth it. But it is. As a homeowner, I do that. I look at those little things that are going to help me right now because of my own personal budget. So, granted, we may think, oh, it's only $50,000 or it's only $10,000. Or whatever it is, that little, those few pennies I save in my classroom when I only flip one switch instead of two switches. You know, I mean, I do that every day.
Sure.
One switch instead of two. I don't need all that light. So, I mean, those little things, although they seem little, add up tremendously. And I know it sounds like a pain in the tush to be messing with all those little things, but they add up.
Sure. And I don't want you to get me wrong when because I mentioned that several times for the purpose of this discussion. I certainly think those things are the things that do add up and make a big difference over the long term. And I just think giving the challenge that we had in front of us, I wanted to focus in on the big, kind of want to zero in this way. Let's see how close we can get with the big items, and then we can probably look at some of the little ones. But if the little ones came up, I think it worked out better this way. It was just a thought going in as a brainstorming kind of guideline. And
sure. I mean, five little things are going to be a lot of something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I agree.
So I'm sorry if you took that the wrong way, because I do appreciate the fact that people have that consciousness in the classroom and throughout the district that, hey, you know, these little things that I do that help add up. And I have a good story along those lines. I have a buddy who's actually used to be the CIO for Quicken Loans, and everybody remembers when the mortgage crisis came around in 2009. Yeah. Well, when it was really bad, first quarter 2009, that ended up being their most profitable quarter because, as a company, they looked at those types of savings, and they even had a website up where they would encourage employees to say, "Hey, look, I saved X number of dollars by just not getting donuts for meetings." And they end up having the most profitable quarter, the first quarter of 2009, when the industry was probably at its worst. So it does matter. So.
Sure. Does anybody else want to add to the discussion about this particular list?
Just a little quick comment. I appreciate the fact that you're putting things on here as hard as brainstorming, and that puts you in a tough position because you're not making decisions. You're just trying to see where you're at. I just hope that we never get to the point where we become state minimums. We try to focus on excellence as best we can. We try to get our kids to focus on excellence. And I understand that we've got a short-term, hopefully short-term problem in terms of dollars. But, you know, we're servicing kids, and we've got to do the best that we can. And when you talk about cutting the school day back as far as the state minimum and those kinds of things, I just hope we don't have to do it. And let's keep our eyes focused on what's the best that we can be. And I'm not saying that has to be the most expensive, but what's the best that we can do? And to me, that's a mindset. And when we get into some of these kinds of things, I think it impacts that.
No,
so
there's no question.
I hope, and I know that you're interested in that, or you wouldn't run for the positions that you're in, but let's make sure that we're not focusing on making statements.
Well, I would highly encourage you to contact your legislator.
Oh, I understand.
He has a pharmacy. He actually has a pharmacy right
down
there.
Well, one of the things I haven't heard from their level is, as they get into these changes, is how it affects education. It's about saving dollars. And I understand that dollars are a piece of the puzzle, but it is, how is this affecting kids? And they're affecting kids for some reason.
I think there is a lot out there on that.
I would like to see that, because from what I've seen at the state level, I've not seen a lot where people have addressed the question how this is going to improve education. I've seen how it's going to save dollars, and I don't necessarily equate the two.
Right.
But I would agree with what you're saying. There's some things that can be done differently, and maybe we can make this more.
Yeah, and I think as where we're at, that those conversations are probably more open now, I guess, for lack of a better word, as every district tries to tackle these kind of problems. I'm sure the problem solving is going to go maybe a little deeper than it would have. All right, well, if there's nothing else on this list, I would be remiss if I did not share with you a petition that was handed to me by about 300 and some of our students who were opposed to the 8-period day, and I promised that I would present those to the board. So,
how many students again?
300. I didn't count them. It's 300 and some. There's a lot there. If you notice any names that you recognize on there, you can shout them out. So, but they were active as well. They weren't here, but they were active in their statement as well that they might not agree with something on our list. So, I would want to make sure I communicated those.
You want to talk about?
Yes, I do.
CI.
I do indeed.
My daughter.
That's what I was looking for. Is she in
there? She's on there.
Oh. All right. The PI. What does this all mean?
The PI. What does
our PI, PI, our bond.
The bottom line is, this all has to do with tangible, and I know it's not a topic, but when you reduce the amount of value in this community and then the amount of reimbursement that comes back into this community, it not only impacts your general fund and your allotment coming back from the state, but it also impacts the permanent improvement levy that we have out there. I remember in 2005, we had $815 million worth of value in this community with taxable. Right now we're at 688. I think we've grown back to 688. So when we redid, prior to 2005, any construction that we were doing was on 3.7 mills total. Every time we'd have a pop in new value, we would redo the bond issue, 3.7 mills times the new value. The multiplication problem changes the premium of money to pay for brick and mortar. But when that all changed in 2005, we knew we had an issue. We knew that we had funded buildings on growth, which actually protected the current taxpayer, because you were in a traditional bond issue, you fund more up front and then taper it down over time. It decreases. But how we were doing it, we were building buildings and funding them and then re-upping that 3.7 mills times a new value, so that the new people moving in actually were participating at the same level. Now, that's kind of the backdrop. But remember, all that went kaplooey in 2005. So we had to redo our bond issues in 2005. And when we did it, with Moody's and Standard & Poor's and so on, we decided that if there was ever a shortage in the bond monies coming in, that we would supplement that with the permanent improvement levy. We had a 5-mil permanent improvement levy. Now, permanent improvement has to be used for brick and mortar, buses, anything that has a 5-year life. So we pay for a lot of our facility upkeep.
That's textbooks and computers and stuff like that.
Textbooks, computers, technology,
all of that
school
stuff.
Buses, okay. Etc. And we pay a little bit of the bond out of that also.
Okay.
The PI, the tangible property to our general fund decreases by $213,000 a year for the next 8.
That's part of this year's budget.
It's part of this year's budget. But they reduced down the PI levy 25% per year. It actually goes away faster. It's a real problem, folks. Because in 2015, we can't make the mortgage. It is a huge, huge issue. Now, again, we met this morning with our state representative, and I'm testifying Wednesday morning.
Excellent.
To the state finance and House Finance Committee. Cindy testified on Friday. This is not only a general fund issue. This is a PI, a permanent improvement issue. And as I've told our state representatives, the reason why we have a permanent improvement fund is to pay to upkeep your facilities, to keep them running. You have to have roofs, you have to have infrastructure, you have to have stuff you know, as it breaks down. I mean, that was more of a protection to the community and the investment than anything else. And now they're taking it away from us as part of the restructuring, because basically they're keeping the money that we passed and keeping it to pay for the state, just like they are on the other side. And it's the problem with this is that you don't have general fund. General fund's reducing. If you had a big general fund, you could pay for this stuff out of your general fund.
No.
But it's you don't have any general fund issue. You know, that's depleted at $1 million a year, thanks to the reduction. So we've got a huge problem. Huge problem. Nobody cover it?
We covered it.
They reduce us $250,000 for the next 4 years until they're done with it.
Yes.
Basically, they're taking their $2 million back out of our PI fund.
That's correct. Fund state government.
Right.
Because they can't run their government.
They're taking our money.
But that...
It's a side issue that we did not discover.
What was it?
And basically, when we got together, because we... You know, once you hone in to what all the language says, because the original language didn't say it. It's actually hidden in the transition, in the language itself. They need to fund PI levies statewide because they can't do this to districts. There are, you know, not all districts have PI levies.
Right.
And not all districts do what we're doing with their PI levies. We're funding infrastructure.
Do you think this is something that just happened because they weren't aware of the impact?
But that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot, because I know over High Point they talk about that, especially with career tech, they get over.
So unintended consequence.
Yeah.
Just
but
as
they usually correct a lot of them. Not, I don't say a lot of them. I think I know career tech.
And
in
the 05, because we had to correct ourselves.
Understood.
We had to pass a new bond issue to do.
What's the chances they would correct?
What's the issue?
What's the chances of them correcting this?
I hope they do.
Well, at least they hope. Well, at least they're aware of. They're clearly aware of it now.
Yeah, but it's so complex. You know, we're gonna start the dialogue. We discovered it last week.
No. I mean,
had John Adams in from Fifth Third, who ran these numbers, and then at Cabeza. I'm not sure you've met them. Some of you have not. Those folks, but they've really, I mean, they've been super advisors to us for years and years. And when you get, I mean, they're very incredibly concerned about this. I mean, because not only it impacts our credit, it impacts our bond rating. And that's it's a huge issue.
Sure.
Because, you know, investors have bought our bonds. And they bought it on a promise that they would be funded.
I just don't understand how they can do that. I mean, I know they can do anything, but that seems to me that, you know, you're taking the trust of it's not just the district now. Now it's private investors that have put money into the district and into the state.
Right.
That
it's a huge issue. So,
all right.
So our state representative is
aware.
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 Is aware and has asked us to figure out a solution.
Oh, okay.
Solution is
cut that legislature out?
Fund the PI.
Yeah,
how much do we pay for state legislators?
If it's $254,000 a year, we're good
well,
to go.
I'm sure it is across the state. Yeah, I'm sure it is too. So.
All right, well, I'll be curious to see how, you know, any updates on that would be.
Well, the message is pretty simple. They need to fund the PI. The reimbursement needs to continue on the permanent improvement.
On that note, let's say it doesn't. Then do we have to? I mean, is our only option to go to the general fund and then have to deal with it there?
Your option are a couple, and they become complex, actually. We have to go back and read the language of how all these bond issues were passed. They were passed little bits at a time over lots of years. But what we're collecting right now is 5.2 mils. That's what we're collecting. But remember, got to 5.2 mils by like a 1.3 mil levy and a 0.7 and so on. If, and we're having our bond attorney look at that language, if there's capacity inside those, we may be able to charge more than 5.2 mils. It already may be voted.
Got it.
Now, I'm not sure that's going to make everybody real happy, because our local taxpayers, again, right, would have to pick up
the state share.
The state share of what was taken away from us. They have to do that on the bond side, and they have to do that on the general fund side. But what we don't know yet, Doug, is there capacity in the language
to do that?
Because even the 5.2 mil levy or bond issue was, I mean, that was to add to the 3.7 mil that was out there forever and ever, and we added 1.5 mils to it.
And if that doesn't work out?
And if that doesn't work out, we'll talk to you.
Appreciate that.
We don't know right now without reading all of it, and just because we just discovered this part of this.
This came out when they sent those OBM numbers, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
And getting to that OBM number and then the amount that's being, the hold harmless on the bond issue side, we aren't even sure if we're receiving what we should be receiving on that. So
from the state side.
From the state side. So I'm going back and refiguring all that.
Don't panic. Call your representatives.
We've got enough gifts.
Call them.
Call them, yeah.
Let you know. It's an issue.
All right, well, we have this list out here now of things, but and to be honest with you, this looks like a good standards committee kind of exercise at this point. Maybe to kind of engage them in that list. But I'd also like to know, you know, not every, I mean, we're limited in our ideas just because of, and I mean, is there a way that we can, you know, we did it the last time, I think, on our website was, you know, hey, if you got a suggestion, post a suggestion. Is there a way we can do that?
Yeah.
We do that? Kind of even, we even take comments about this list and add, you know, if you want to add to this list or whatever, and kind of start compiling those ideas together. And then, you know, at one point we're going to kind of have to get our standards committee out there and say, look, here it is, you know, and prioritize that list and look at that and what's most important and not important.
Talk about, and I don't know if this is part of this or not, but we mentioned getting the survey or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, is there and some I think way that we would kind of give this.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think this fits. I mean, this it's kind of more. It's no longer out in the vapor anymore. I mean, it's kind of now we have at least a list of at least what the board is kind of poking at. That doesn't mean it's an all inclusive list. I mean, I'm sure someone out there may have a better idea or different ideas, or you folks didn't want to speak up tonight, but you'll go home tonight, get on your computers, and send Mr. Zimmerman heated, flaming emails. So
you're going to have the standards committee look at this while the subcommittees of the finance committee.
Well, like again, those numbers. Yeah, they're going to continue to look at that. They're going to continue to work towards
that.
Well, that's a
standards committee is a group that worked with us last time, and they look at it from a not from a necessarily a fiscal side, but from a operational side. What makes the most sense and try to prioritize.
It's like a district standard.
Pardon?
Yeah, it's like a what standard do you want for your district is really where that name came from. It's, you know, you have to set a standard, you know, that you want to meet, and that's what
we've been meeting with some focus groups, and some of these same ideas have come out of that. Now the real work begins.
Yeah.
One thing this kind of think of. You know, the larger numbers on that list obviously are compensation related. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just one way of looking at it.
I'm with you.
But just in looking at that total line item and reducing it to kind of get to a certain point, just percentage-wise, like if let's say if it takes 5% to get to that number, reducing that compensation, how can we, you know, we talked about getting the salary committee together at some point and getting even the MEA, the teachers, or, you know, finance committee to sit there and talk about how we can restructure the way we compensate. And it sounds like we may have to do that anyways with the budget and Senate Bill 5. I just think we need to start those discussions. And I certainly don't feel like the guy who has all the answers, but I seem...
You got charts, though.
Well, I do have charts, but I don't... I mean, I don't understand... I've never worked as a teacher, so I don't know what it's like. I mean, I have friends that work in districts, not here, but other districts that, you know, they see things differently than I do because they, you know, that's
sure
what they're used to. And so I think it would be important to get the MEA teachers together with the finance committee to look at compensation. Say, let's say we had a chop 5% off of our total, that line item. How would we do that? And we may find a way of doing it where it's not as much of an impact as we think. I don't know.
I don't know how to get there.
I don't know. But it's I keep mentioning it for these sessions, but they just, that's a session by itself.
That's more of an intimate session.
It could be an intimate session. That's fine. I understand that. But yeah, I get your point. Especially if we focus in right on negotiated type of salaries.
Yeah, I think it would almost have to be an executive session.
Can we do that? Can we get an intimate session to talk about that kind of stuff?
I don't know. Legally, I think we can we? Legal people?
Yes.
Yeah, I yeah.
I mean, we have to do it sooner or later.
Yeah, no, I know. So there's no question.
And I think a lot of that feeds into the standards committee, because if the standards committee is looking at some of these things, saying, "Hey, you go ahead and take away our pickup," that's just gonna impact education this way. Because I know a lot of the standards people work for the district. At least they did last time. You know, it may not be, huh?
I don't know.
Last time they did. I'm pretty sure they did. But I guess my point is if there's, that's just one way of getting to that reduction. And how we get there is going to determine what the real impact is on.
There's no question.
I think a lot of that, though, you're going to have to wait for Senate Bill 5 to become what it is or isn't. I don't know what merit pay is.
How much of that's already in the budget, though, or going to be in the budget?
None. The definition?
Some of that is in there.
I thought wasn't merit pay in there?
That's what I thought, merit pay.
It is, but what is it?
Well,
right, sure, and that's why I think they're deferring that to districts, are they not? A lot of them are.
No, I thought some of it was based on the state teacher evaluation standard. I thought I'd read part of that, like half of it was, and again,
so maybe the first couple discussions are just trying to understand.
Well, again, it's you know, it's clear as, you know, it's, how many pages is that thing? Like 3,000? Have you read it yet?
244, yeah. I believe. This is
the first
only
time.
A portion of the 422-page analysis. Not
yeah.
I just don't think we're doing ourselves any favor just not having those discussions, because those are the largest line items. Those are where the you know, like it or not, that's where the state government's expecting us to make up these differences.
All right.
And
there's
they're
no question.
Trying to give us the tools within the budget and Senate Bill 5 to do that. We at least need to look at what those tools
are.
Well,
we're going to be negotiating one way or another here very soon.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's going to have to roll into that conversation at some
point.
Sure.
I'd rather roll in rather than slam in.
Well, no, I understand. And I'm not against sitting down with you know, Juliet and her folks and obviously Larry and Cindy. But can we table that discussion for the night?
You know, a natural instinct to say sure, but we always table it.
I was ready to talk about it tonight. If you have stuff you want to throw out there, I'm okay with that.
I think we need to have.
I agree.
A focused discussion on it. So,
okay. I didn't mean to table. I meant we can figure out when you want to do it, or
can we at least make a gentleman's commitment to get something scheduled.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, for the rest of the board, I mean, it's not just you and me. There's five people
right.
on this
no,
board.
Agreed. Yeah.
So.
No, I'm not a gentleman.
Oh, that's right. See, they've already insulted one fifth of our board tonight. I mean, are you?
Mondays.
Now, how many are you willing to have that conversation?
Yes, Mondays. Okay. I'll have them on Monday.
Okay. Then we have a
can
case.
We reach out to the NEA and ask them if they're willing to have a discussion?
We certainly can. Why? Positive they're willing to be there.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Can I ask them?
No. Is she, I didn't see. Oh, there's. Hey, it's your. Sorry. Well, there was someone tall sitting right in front of you, so I didn't. Okay. Well, we won't pressure you into commitment, but it's floating out there if you'd like to sit down.
And volunteering for the race
citizens
and race
consultants
that we will
all agree. Okay. Then I just think we just need to hammer out when we can sit down and talk then. Okay. Is that gentlemanly enough?
That is gentlemanly enough.
Okay. And with deference to...
Right.
And we the ladies.
Yes, right. All right. Comments. Was there anything else for tonight that you guys want to go over? Or 2.5 hours good enough for you tonight?
Fine.
Okay. You folks have anything else? Anybody else have anything they want to pipe in with before we go? All right. I need a motion to adjourn then, please. Thank you.
Second.
I don't know. Do I move? Okay, I
move. She moved.
She moved.
I second.
Moving second. Roll call.
Greer.
Yes.
Lasher.
Yes.
Maybe. Yes, we are adjourned. Can you obviously ship out a copy of that list to me?
Is that the
or to us?
I
the board.